Trip out west last week. We left on, when did we leave? It was a Thursday night, I guess. Thursday after work, we booted her all the way to Medicine Hat. So we got in Medicine Hat pretty late. Nice to gain an hour. And then we were there for 4 days and came back on Monday. Heard you guys had kind of a hoedown here last week. Some special music. It's pretty good. Well, praise God. It's you know what? One of the things that I was thinking about, what a blessing when we're able to go away and know that the word's going to be shared, you guys are going to be ministered in worship, and we just have full confidence that our team here and you guys are able to enter into God's presence and be blessed and built up. And so that was really good. I have to admit, we didn't even go to church on Sunday night. Can you imagine that, a pastor not going to church on Sunday? But the friends we were staying with, Rob, our good friends Rob and Melissa there, we hadn't seen them in about 3 years. And they were working on and off while we were there. And that was the one day we had to spend together. And so we just fellowshiped and played board games and hung out. And it was really good. But they were able to encourage us. And we were able to encourage them as well, too. So we just appreciated the opportunity to travel. It was really good. The Lord put on my heart this one phrase in the middle of the week. And I just had this one phrase to work with, and so I had to think about it and pray on it, and the phrase that the Lord gave me was the great adventure. I'm like, okay, the great adventure. What? Where is that going, Lord? What do you have for us? And right away, I was reminded of a song that I used to like way back, and I have the date here. It was like in the 90s at some point. I think the early 1990s. Maybe I don't have the date here. But a fellow named Stephen Curtis Chapman had a song called The Great Adventure. And, you know, I had a little Sony boombox that was about like this wide and about that high. And I took it, you know, and it took like 8D batteries. And so I would obviously use it in my room, but if I was going to Madge Lake and the beach, I would have my Sony boombox there, and I'm pretty sure I'd be playing something like Stephen Curtis Chapman or whatever. I was going to read you the lyrics, but then Mandy found the song. We decided we should just play the first part of that. So go ahead and play that song, Mandy, for us. Some of you might know this song, actually. Yeah? I'm not very good at air guitar, so watch Michelle. Song, you know, I'm pretty sure I was in my room at times just like pretending to drum and like Michelle, this, it's got a good beat, doesn't it? It's got a good beat, some good acoustic electric guitar there. Probably wouldn't be hit nowadays because it doesn't have like a hip-hop beat or something like that, but back in the day, that was, for me anyway, that was where it was at. But I like that song because of the excitement and just the call to saddle up your horses. Life is adventure, life is the journey. And I was in my mid-teens when that song came out. And so I was looking forward to everything that life had to offer. And as a young person, one of the things that I used to think about was, and wonder about was, what's my life going to be like? You know, you're like, where am I? You kind of know what you're doing up until the end of high school, right? But then you think, well, I got to get a job after that. Where am I going to get a job? I ended up right out of high school. I ended up working a little bit for Paul's dad. And then I was in the co-op for 3 years. And so things started to unfold, but you still wonder, like, who am I going to marry? What are my kids going to be like? You know, where am I going to live? What's my career going to be? You get all these questions, and there's this kind of the wonder and excitement, and then sometimes a little bit of trepidation, like, you know, you're kind of wondering. But overall, for me anyway, that time in my life was just exciting, and I was looking forward to the challenge, looking to discovering the unknown and learning all that God had for me. And so I can remember the excitement that I had back then. There's a story that came to my mind as I was kind of replaying that time in my life a little bit. And I think Dad and I can't remember why, but Dad and I were on a trip to Regina. And we have family friends of ours there, Brian and Diane Hillier. And Brian is a pretty talkative guy, and he's about Dad's age. And he was sitting me down. I remember just the kitchen table, and it was Dad and Brian and myself. And he was asking me about high school, and I was close to being done high school. And he says, "So after high school, you're gonna get into the school of hard knocks." And I looked at him, and I had no idea what that phrase meant. I was like, "School of hard knocks?" I'm like, "I just can't wait till I'm done school." And so they had to explain to me what the school of hard knocks was. And I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty sure I said something like, "I have no interest in that kind of school. Like, I'm done high school, and I'll just ignore the school of hard knocks, and I'll do something else instead." But here's the definition from Google of the school of hard knocks: it's painful or difficult experiences that are seen to be useful in teaching someone about life. I wasn't interested in the school of hard knocks at all. I was like, high school is it. And I was one of those kids that I wasn't really looking forward to or thinking, I cannot wait to get into college. Or, you know, some sort of post-secondary education. I did well in school, but I'd had enough of it by 12 years and was ready to do something else. Of course, I ended up going to Bible school when I was 20 years old, and I think it was 3 years after that, I married. 4 years after that, Kylie's arrived. And so, the adventure started unfolding and just getting more exciting and just leveling up all the time. And, of course, 2 years after that, Kennedy and Christian, and there's different careers and moves. Candace and I went from Calgary to Cranbrook, and from Cranbrook to Medicine Hat, and from Medicine Hat to here. And so here we are. And this fall, actually the end of, in mid-November, it's going to be 20 years for us, 20 years of the great adventure. And, of course, we're just blessed and excited to be in Swan River and sharing that with you guys and just everything that the Lord has done for us. We do still see it as an adventure, and I think that's key, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about is, when we're young and we're thinking about our lives, we're thinking about adventure, but life needs to stay an adventure. We need to be able to keep on staying that, keeping that mentality, that mentality of an adventure, despite some of the hard things that come, despite some of the trials that can possibly come our way. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your presence is here. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful, Lord, that you are here among us, Lord, that you are speaking to me and you are speaking to us. You are helping us receive your word. And so we receive your word with joy, and we look forward to everything you have for us. In your name, amen. So I didn't know it at the time. When I was around that kitchen table, and Brian Hillier was talking to me about the school of hard knocks, I didn't know that the school of hard knocks is actually in the Bible. But there's quite a few verses that talk about the school of hard knocks. It doesn't quite use that phrase. Typically uses the phrases like trials or tribulations. And so John 16:33 says, "I've told you this." This is Jesus speaking. "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows." Or here on earth you may attend the school of hard knocks every once in a while. "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." And so, of course, there's other verses that we could have chosen. But Jesus was letting his disciples know it always won't be peachy keen. It won't always be smooth sailing. And that was our experience. So, as I said, we really, life has been an adventure for us. But there's been times where it sure doesn't feel like an adventure. One of the things that always comes to my mind, and I'm sure I know I've shared this story a little bit in detail with you guys before. But Kenneth and I have spent 4 years in Medicine Hat. We had Kylie, and Kennedy was well on the way. She was about half ready to make her entrance into this world. And the Lord moved us from Cranbrook to Medicine Hat. And even moves are exciting, right? Even with moves, there's an element of the unknown, but you're excited about a move. And Bill and Kathy were living in Medicine Hat, and we made the decision that we're going to move in with them just for a little bit. And we were grateful for that. And I had a new job lined up that the Lord provided for me. And there was just other exciting things around that time. We had done well on the sale of our house in Cranbrook, and so we were able to pay off some debt, and we were excited about that. And we were just looking forward to new relationships, new connections, new opportunities in Medicine Hat. Well, 2 weeks after we moved to Medicine Hat, and I was reminded of this, because this last trip that we were in Medicine Hat last week, I was driving with my friend Rob down a road called Box Springs Road, and something happened to me on Box Springs Road when we were just 2 weeks into Medicine Hat. And what happened was there was a train that was coming by, and so there was lots of traffic backed up, and I was about four or five cars back from an intersection, so I'm slowly making my way up to an intersection, and to my left is the exit off the Trans-Canada Highway. And so it's a 50-kilometer speed limit. I stop at the stop sign. I look one way or the other. And I must have seen a vehicle, but I clearly didn't judge how fast this vehicle was going, because I pulled out onto Box Springs Road, and I was immediately T-boned in my 1994 Honda Accord, which is not a big, tough vehicle. It was a pretty small little car, and this is a big half ton that hit me, and so I was T-boned basically right where the driver's door kind of hinges right there, and then that collision pushed me through the intersection into oncoming traffic coming the other way, where there was a second collision with a big old, like, it's like a big old Delta 88 or something like that, or a Pontiac, some big old boat from the mid-80s that had a whole lot more mass than my vehicle. So things came to an abrupt stop at that point. And I was in a lot of hurt. I was in a deep trouble. To make a long story short, jaws of life came up. I came to consciousness. I lost consciousness, came up consciousness after surgery in the middle of the night. And I was in a rough place. Ended up spending 3 weeks in the hospital. And it was by God's grace that I was kept alive. I almost had a pulmonary embolism, which is blood clots going into the lungs, in my lungs, about a week after that. But there was people praying all over North America. This church was standing in faith for my healing. And some of you were a part of that church and knew our family at the time would remember that. But I had people all over the world, you know, really all over the world, because with the LifeLinks Network, prayer went out and people were praying for me, interceding. God cared for us during that time. But it didn't feel like an adventure in the moment, let me tell you. You know, and here we are in a new city and just not even really made some friends. We knew Bill and Kathy, and during that time, I remember Pastor Ian, our new pastor, coming and you know, meeting me at the hospital. And I was like, basically the first time I had met him. I think I had met him like once or twice before that. And it was an interesting time. Didn't work for several months. And how many of you guys know, if you're ever in a situation where you apply for EI, it tends to, like, you know, EI tends to get rolling right about the time where you don't need it anymore, right? So right about the time you're back to work, that's when the EI starts coming in. You're like, well, that was awesome. And I couldn't sleep for several months because of broken ribs and things like that. So slept in an easy chair in the basement and slowly got the ball rolling. But, you know, that was a trial for us. That was a time in our lives where we can look back and think, that was tough. Here's Candace. You know, she's pregnant at the time. We're expecting our second. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that were going on. But, you know, guys, the Lord is so faithful. And so we can look back. And you know what we tend to remember? And remember when Candace and I are remembering those times, and I don't have time for all the stories, but there's lots of funny things that actually happened. And so we just tend to remember the funny things that happened and how the Lord was faithful to us. And those are the stories that we recount, because by God's grace, even though it didn't feel like that trial, that tribulation didn't feel like an adventure at the time, by God's grace, that's how it's, you know, that's how we remember it in our lives, because He brought us through that time. And if you're anything like me, you've probably had moments in your life that are wild and crazy like that. Maybe you're in a trial or a temptation, a trial or a tribulation right now in your life. Obviously you're not in the hospital because you wouldn't be here. But chances are that there are people in this room that are facing difficulty and hardship that at the very least right now, it doesn't feel like an adventure that you would choose for yourself, right? It doesn't feel like if you could have planned out your spring of 2019 that you would have written it this way and you would have chosen these events for you. And so the question that we're going to talk about today is, how do we keep life as an adventure when it feels like there's a trial? And then we get through that trial, and there's another trial after it. And, you know, there's sometimes a series of trials that we experience in life. How do we keep life an adventure in the face of a trial? I've been reading lately in the book of Acts, and this fact struck me about the Apostle Paul. And I know you guys know this, but here's someone who knew all about trials. And actually, his Christian walk kind of started out on an adventure. He was on an adventure to Damascus, wasn't he? You know, he was a zealous Pharisee, and he was going to go out there, and he was going to capture some Christians and throw them into prison. And he was on this adventure to persecute Christians. The Lord met him, turned his life around, and Paul became just on fire for Jesus and dedicated his life to the Lord. But here was someone who knew quite a lot about trials and tribulations, and he lists some of those in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27. Five different times, Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I faced dangers from rivers and robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced dangers in the deserts, the cities, and the seas. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and I've often gone without food. That's a trial right there. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. So here we have Paul the Apostle. Before God called him, he was hard-hearted, and he was angry about believers, and all he could think about was persecuting Christians, throwing them in a jail, stamping out this new movement that had arisen after Christ had been on earth. But now he's more mature in his walk, and now he's been serving the Lord for probably a couple decades, and he's looking back, and he's recognizing God's faithfulness and God's ability to bring him through all these experiences. And this wasn't there was more that he listed, but he's looking back and he's thinking through all these things that the Lord has brought him through, and he's still seeing life as an adventure. Right? And he continued to see life that way right up until the end of his days. Philippians 2:16 says, "Hold firmly to the word of life, that on the day God Christ returned, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy." So he's still seeing life as a race, as an adventure, as a mission that he was called to by the Lord. And he's kept his joy, he's kept his peace, he's kept his faith. I need a cough drop in a bit here. You know, I just read that scripture from the book of Philippians. And Philippians is what we call the prison epistles. It was one of several letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison, right? We have the book of Philippians, we have Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon. And that book in particular, the book of Philippians, is one of the most encouraging letters that Paul wrote. And he's always talking about rejoicing in the book of Philippians. And it's wild to think that here we have a man who's gone through all those hardships and all those difficulties that we've talked about. He's the one who needs to be encouraged, but here he is encouraging the believers around him, encouraging the people that he's mentored in the faith. He's the one who's been through the hardship and the trials, but yet there's a joy, such a joy in him, that he's got an overflow to give to others. That's a powerful testimony. Philippians 4:4 says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Paul wasn't asking us and wasn't encouraging the believers in the church in Philippi to do something that he wasn't doing himself. Right? He's saying, always be full of the joy, Lord. And in doing that, he's saying, I have the joy of the Lord. Do as I do. Keep this joy as I've kept it. Why was Paul so focused on the joy of the Lord and encouraging believers to rejoice? I believe that he found a key. And choosing joy and the joy of the Lord turns our trial into an adventure. One of the keys. Choosing joy can turn the trial and the tough time that we're in into an adventure. I believe that joy causes our perspective to come back in line with Christ's perspective. And it can give us peace in the midst of a storm. Peace in the midst of a tough time when we should not be able to experience that kind of peace. And the thing about a trial and a tribulation when it comes, because we're human, our first reaction, I don't think anybody's first reaction is ever joy, right? I mean, the Bible tells us to do that. We're going to read that scripture right away. In fact, Bill already read it this morning. But when tough times comes, you know, at least I've never probably known anyone that as soon as they hear news of a difficulty, they're like, praise God. This is awesome. But yet, God's word tells us to do that. It's not our first reaction. We have to train ourselves. We have to condition ourselves. We have to renew our minds to that kind of thinking, because it's not the natural human reaction. But what does James say? He says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He's saying, choose joy when a trial comes your way, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here's the thing. Our trials do not have to decrease us. That's the intent of them. The reason we experience trials is because there's sin in the world, and we have an adversary that's, you know, because we live in a fallen world, and we have an adversary that's set against us. The purpose of those trials, from the devil's perspective, is to decrease us. But that's not the Lord's intent. And he can use that. He has the ability to use those tough times, to use those trials, to increase us, right? To do things for our benefit, for our good. What was meant to harm us can be turned and can be for our good. The verse that I immediately thought of as the Lord was showing me that is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so I believe that one of the keys is to count it all joy when we encounter a trial. It's not saying that we don't have to, you know, we don't have to give the Lord thanks for that thing, but we can give thanks to the Lord for the victory in that trial, right? It's a big difference. You know, it's turning our focus away from the difficulty, away from the hardship, and being willing to turn it on to the Lord our source, the Lord our power, the Lord our deliverer, the one who's going to bring us through that, and thanking him that he is able to turn what the enemy meant for harm into good for us. You know, thanking him that this trial is not going to decrease us, but in the end it is going to increase us. That's where the thanks comes in. So to consider it all joy, what that tells us, consider it all joy, to me that tells us that we have a choice to make. You guys know about agape love, right? There's different kinds of love in the Bible. What sets agape love, or the God kind of love, apart is that it's a choice, right? It's a choice to love. That's the Christ kind of love. Well, this is the Christ kind of joy. This is the God kind of joy, because it's not our natural emotional response. It's a choice to have joy. I don't know if there's a name for it, but I kind of think of it like agape joy, I know that's just like, people who know Greek would not like that phrase. It's like saying love joy, but it's a choice to have joy when it's not our natural human reaction. It's a Christ kind of joy. It's a God kind of joy. So we can consider it joy. That's one option. Or we can consider it hardship. We can look at the difficulty. We can kind of let ourselves get beat down and say, woe is me. And what tends to happen if we do that is our focus is not on the Lord, but it's on the problem at hand. It's on the hardship. And we start to have maybe some self-pity. And then oftentimes we'll start to find ourselves complaining. We may not even realize it. We'll start to find ourselves complaining. And you know what slips away? Our peace and our joy. So if we don't choose joy, we lose joy. It's good, right? We have to choose joy. Otherwise, we'll lose joy, because the bitterness will set in, disenchantment will set in, fear and doubt and all those other things. And the joy and the peace that we might have had at one time, if we're not guarding it, if we're not choosing it, if we're not making a bold stand to keep and hold on to it tightly, it will slip away in this time. But when we consider joy, when we choose joy, that puts our focus back on the Lord, the one who can deliver us, the one who can bring us through this moment. And he is a redeeming God. A redeeming God means he takes a situation that was meant for decrease and for harm in our life, and he redeems it into something that blesses us and moves us forward and brings increase for us. So how do we count it all joy? We're asking, how do we keep life an adventure when we experience a trial? And we have the answer in front of us from God's word. We need to count it all joy. There's other things as well, but we're focused on joy this morning. Number one, I have, remember that God has a plan and a purpose for every trial. I know we've already touched on this, but it's important for us to understand that God was not the author of our trial. He didn't orchestrate it. It didn't come from Him. He's not double-minded about us and thinking, well, I've been given Pastor Cam so much goodness, I'm just going to throw in some hardship here just to kind of even things out. He doesn't think like that. It's not the kind of God He is. It's not according to His nature. He's a good God, and He's good all the time. So He does not orchestrate, and He is not the author of trouble and tribulation, hard times in our lives. But He will redeem it and use it for our good. And there's a reward that comes. There's actually many rewards that come because of that. Romans 5:2 says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Excuse me for one moment. There's a strength of character that comes through a tough time. There's a strength of character that comes when we experience trials and tribulations and have the Lord bring us through them. I was thinking about this, and right now, what's happening right now is the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's the St. Louis Blues against Boston, and it's not looking too good for Boston, isn't it, Randy? One more game and St. Louis has this. But one of the things that is commonly recognized about the Stanley Cup playoffs is if you're going to win the Stanley Cup playoffs, you're going to go as a team through some trials and some tribulations. You know what the trial and tribulation was for the St. Louis Blues? They started off the year as a good team. People didn't know what they were going to do. Do you know that in the month of January, they were the worst team in the National Hockey League? It was 31 teams, and they had the worst record. There's a rule generally accepted in the National Hockey League that by American Thanksgiving, if you're not in a playoff spot, and only half the teams make the playoffs, the upper half of the league makes the playoffs, if you're not in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving, there's like a 10% chance that you'll even make the playoffs. And it's been proven over the last 10 or 15 years. It's kind of an unwritten knowledge. Well, here we have the St. Louis Blues that had a lot of adversity this season. But you know what they had on their team? They had people on that team. They had veterans who had been through some deep waters before. They had playoff experience. They've had Stanley Cup playoff experience. And so there was a maturity and depth on that team that even though they were the worst team in the National Hockey League, and some of you guys remember, like, the Winnipeg Jets absolutely clobbered them earlier in the year. But we all know what happened in round one of the playoffs, didn't they? St. Louis put it to Winnipeg. And here is a team who's been through, you know, they've been through some trials and some hardships, and they have developed a strength of character that can come no other way. And now I know we're talking about hockey, but there's a parallel here to life. That in tough times, that one of the rewards that we get when we develop patience and patient endurance, and there's a strength of character that comes there. And it's not, let's be honest here, it's not an adventure while it's happening. There's not too many people can be in that moment and think, this is awesome. I just love the character that's being built in my life right now. I can just see myself, the patience is getting stronger, my endurance is getting, no one thinks like that. But when we look back and see how God has brought us through, the next time something comes, wow, there's a strength that we did not have before. There's the ability to more quickly turn our focus off the situation and back onto the Lord, back onto His Word, an easier ability to remain in faith, to keep our joy, a strength that we did not have before. And the only way we get that strength of character is by choosing joy, regardless of what we're going through. And remember, turnaround is coming. Victory is on its way. Amen. Another key that kind of ties in with what we've been talking about as well, but we need to get our focus off the situation and our focus on the Lord. He needs to be our focus in the trial. Philippians 4:6-7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Excuse me. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, we have to get rid of worry. This is a big thing. Worry will just steal our peace and steal our joy, and it's the absolute opposite of faith. So, you know, there's one thing I can say with absolute confidence as your pastor that you do not want in your life is worry. Just get rid of it. Just let it go. Refuse to worry. You can make a quality decision right now that regardless of whatever comes my way, I will never worry. Because worry takes away to a very high level your ability to stay in joy, and to stay in faith. It's a faith killer. It's a peace killer. Turn it over to the Lord. Get in prayer. Turn that burden over to Him and do it again and again if you have to get in peace. Excuse me. Finally, and I like this at the end of verse 6, it says, and thank Him for all He's done. Thank the Lord for all He's done. Now, I think there's two parts to that. It's absolutely thanking the Lord for all He's done for all of us, which is His finished work on the cross, right? His redemptive work on the cross. He defeated sin in the grave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has purchased the victory for life for us. But thank Him for all He's done for you in the past as well, for those times where He's shown Himself faithful, those times where He's brought you through situations where you didn't know what the outcome was going to be. But he showed Himself faithful to you. And you can look back at that trial and say, you know what, that was tough. But it's part of my adventure. Praise God, He's been faithful to me. We want to thank the Lord for that. That's such a powerful thing to do, to get our focus off of what we're going through and get our focus onto the Lord. Thanking Him for what He's done. Get your mind fixed on Jesus. Number 3. We're talking about how do we count it all joy? Keys to counting it all joy and keeping life an adventure, even when we're in the midst of a trial. Remember the reward of keeping your joy and staying in faith. Hebrews 10:32 says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. So the writer of Hebrews is talking to the Jewish church. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. Sometimes you helped others who are suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. So here's people that have known hard times that have chosen to count it all joy. They've considered it joy when intense persecution has come against them. You knew that there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. What brought them through those hard times? They knew that there was a reward at the end of that trial, a reward for them when they kept their faith and kept their joy. So verse 35 says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He's promised. How do we please God? What's God's will? It's His will that we stay in faith, because faith pleases God. Faith gives us the ability to do everything that God's called us to do, but joy keeps our faith. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy undergirds our faith and gives strength to our faith. And so that's how we have the victory in situations like this, as we choose joy, choose to stay in faith, and choose to remember the reward that's ours. Now, what is the reward? Well, we already talked about it. It's increased strength of character for sure. It's the joy of seeing our faith accomplish its perfect work. And I think it's just the amazement of knowing how faithful and how loving and how awesome our God is. But there's another reward given to those who endure with joy. Psalm 84:5-7 says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have their mind set on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, other translations will say the valley of Baca, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. There's some metaphors taking place in this scripture. Jerusalem was a place where the temple was resided, and people would go to Jerusalem on a spiritual journey, on a spiritual pilgrimage, because that's where the presence of the Lord resided. And so here we have this picture of Jerusalem, which represents the presence of God. This is where the Lord's glory is. And the Hebrew for that phrase, set their minds on a pilgrim to Jerusalem, the literal wording in Hebrew means those whose roads are in their hearts. Those whose roads are in their hearts. And so I believe what the writer was trying to say is, this is an inward journey to experience God's presence. This is an inner process that takes place in the heart of every believer to experience God's presence, His glory, His goodness, and His power. It's an adventure of the heart. It's an adventure of the heart to experience the presence of God, to experience His goodness. So let's read that again in the Passion Translation now, because it helps bring this concept out for us. How enriched are they who find their strength in the Lord. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness. Even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others only find pain. Praise God. Verse 7, they go stronger and stronger with every step forward, and the God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm almost done. So my question is, where are you at on your great adventure? Where are you at on your adventure of the heart? It could be that you're on the top of a mountain right now, right? Maybe the Lord's just brought you through something that's difficult, and you're on that mountain, and you're looking at a valley that you just passed through, and you're saying, praise God, thank you for your faithfulness. And if that's where you're at, that's awesome. Truly, we praise God with you. We celebrate with you. But it could be that you're in that valley of weeping. You're in that valley of Baca. You're in that tough time and that trial, and there's a situation that's kind of pressing its way into you, and you have a choice in front of you. You have this choice to make. So how do you dig deep and find a pleasant pool where others will only find pain? It's just a choice. It's a choice to choose to focus on God. It's a choice to consider it all joy. It's a choice to say, Lord, I put my focus on you. You are my deliverer. You are going to bring me through. You have the ability to turn this situation, redeem this situation, to turn it for my good, for my benefit, for my blessing. And I choose to consider the great reward, the many great rewards of staying faithful, counting in all joy, sticking with you. Lord, I thank you that you have my back and that you're going to bring me through. That's a choice that all of us have to make in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a tough time. When we do that, what happens? Verse 7 says we get stronger and stronger with every step, and the reward is experiencing God's presence in our lives. It says the God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. Zion's the place ahead. Zion is the place where God's presence dwells. It's a spiritual name for Jerusalem. And so if you want to experience, and I believe that everyone in this room, we do want to experience God's glory and His power and His goodness in our lives. His presence. We want it to be real and manifesting in our lives. But this great adventure we're on, this adventure of the heart, involves choices along the way that are going to bring us into God's presence. It's neat that that's an Old Testament scripture. That's from the Psalms. But then there's a scripture in Hebrews 6 that really says the same thing. God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God's given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. How do we have such great confidence? And why is it so important to get our focus on the Lord? Because he can't lie. He's promised to be with us. He's promised to bring us through. And he is not able to be unfaithful to his word. He's simply not able. He will be faithful to perform his promise to us. And so that's where our focus needs to be. But I like how this continues on. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Remember, we're on a spiritual journey to God's presence, right? This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. I've never picked up on that before. I really like that verse. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. And I've just always focused on that. But the Lord showed me how choosing joy and letting joy undergird our hope and our faith, and how that develops patience and endurance. The greatest reward that we receive is being led through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary, experiencing just this sweet, sweet presence in our lives. Amen. That's exciting, isn't it? It is. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word encourages us so deeply, Lord. We thank you that your word always applies to us. It always has something to say that brings life and encouragement to us, Lord. And so we hold fast tightly to your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you give us, by your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to count it all joy, to choose joy regardless of what we're going through. We thank you, Lord, that you have set before us, Lord, that this spiritual journey of the heart, this adventure of the heart, leads to Zion. It leads to your presence. It leads to a place, Lord, we experience your goodness and your power, and most of all, your presence in our lives, Lord. So we just, Lord, we rejoice over your word this morning. We rejoice over this promise, this confident expectation that we can have. And we choose, Lord, to count it all joy. We choose to stay in faith. We choose to release worry, doubt, fear, all those things, Lord, and we welcome your presence into our lives. We welcome just peace and joy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us, Lord, that you help us, that you strengthen us. Lord, we declare, Lord, that as we do this, step by step, we go stronger. We go stronger with every step. Because of you, Jesus, our hope is in you. So we thank you for it, and we give you the glory. In your name, amen.